CBS News Brief. The new Trump administration keeps up the dizzying pace of orders and executive actions, now placing a temporary pause on all grants, loans, and federal financial assistance. CBS's Jared Hill.
The Senate top Democrat Chuck Schumer wrote it's jeopardizing billions upon billions of community grants and financial support that help millions of people across the country.
An FBI whistleblower is raising concerns about Kash Patel, President Trump's nominee to head the FBI, claiming he leaked information about American captives in Yemen. CBS's Dan Clydman.
People in the FBI worried that if you get out ahead with this kind of news, that it could jeopardize the release of the hostages.
The NASDAQ bouncing back a day after the Chinese AI company DeepSeek triggered a massive sell-off. Analyst Dan Ives.
The reality is that it doesn't change the position of U.S. tech, NVIDIA, Microsoft, and others relative to AI revolution.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news, featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Well, the 2025 Super Bowl is set. It will be the Philadelphia Eagles taking on the Kansas City Chiefs, which most people don't seem that excited about. The Chiefs will be trying to three-peat, something that has never been achieved in the Super Bowl era. The Philadelphia Eagles scored the most points in an NFL championship conference game ever, but unfortunately, they can't save some of those points for the Super Bowl. Here's hoping for a good game. Timothée Chalamet plays Bob Dylan in A Complete Unknown. The Oscar-nominated actor came under fire for a line he ad-libbed while playing an exercise class instructor, making a joke about recently deceased President Jimmy Carter. The joke was mostly met with cringe, but people who defended him countered it was just a joke. So to summarize, Chalamet, who plays a Nobel Prize winner in a movie, made fun of a Nobel Peace Prize winner on Saturday Night Live. How noble? For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Badgers move up in the rankings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball. The Wisconsin Badgers have moved up a few spots. Now the 17th ranked team in the nation. Head coach Greg Gard on where he hopes they can improve.
You're trying to be, from an offensive standpoint, if we can be top 10 in the country, which we are now. Defensively, we felt we needed to climb to be top 25 in order to be really elite. Because if you look across the country of who's in that category, it's some pretty high-powered teams. So defensively, we needed it. We were hovering in the 50s. We need to continue to grow that.
The Badgers head to Maryland to take on the Terrapins tomorrow night. NBA. The Bucks with a 125-110 win over the Utah Jazz. Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo both scoring 35 points. Andre Jackson ejected with a flagrant foul with less than a minute to play. Baseball. The Brewers adding closing pitcher John Axford to the team's Wall of Fame. Axford had 46 saves in 2011, a franchise single season record. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Increasing sunshine today, mild but windy. A high of 43. Wind gusts as high as 40 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy, still breezy, lows near 30. Not as breezy on Wednesday, mostly sunny with highs in the upper 30s. Right now, it's 28 degrees.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
As a Hall of Famer, The Zone.
I can already tell the weather's a changing around Wisconsin for the better. Welcome in, everybody. It's a Tuesday. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here on the Midwest Farm Report. Yeah, you can already tell that we're going to enjoy a warmer day today. Now, Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, is along with us and bringing more weather details in about 15 minutes. The forecast in front of me is calling for sunny skies today. Daytime highs, believe it or not, around 46 degrees. But we will have fairly substantial winds out of the southwest. West 5 to 15, gusting up to 40 miles an hour by the end of the day. Tonight, down to 30 degrees. Tomorrow, sunny and 38. Stu Muck brings us more weather details on how the week unfolds in about 15 minutes. John Heinberg stepping in to join us on the show. He's going to bring us an update. Export numbers very strong yesterday on corn and soybeans, above the five-year average. So the market so far must be feeling halfway comfortable with the Trump administration. And cattle on feed numbers also calling attention to the fact that you're going to pay more for beef at the grocery stores for the foreseeable future. We'll see what else John has up his sleeve. And today we're talking carbon credits in Madison. You know, it seems pretty straightforward, doesn't it? But I'll tell you what, the jargon that we use in agriculture and the jargon that they use in carbon credit markets, well, let's just say they're worlds apart. Talking about that with Cassandra Strupp from the Professional Dairy Producers of Wisconsin.
Did you know soybean diseases like white mold and sudden death syndrome can survive in your soil even after rotating crops? Prevention of these diseases is a constant battle, and yield loss from an infection can be devastating. The right management plan makes all the difference. Keep your beans safe this spring with Heads Up Seed Treatment. Heads Up guards your seed from both white mold and SDS. Stay protected and profitable by asking your seed dealer for Heads Up. Learn more at headsupst.com.
Community events are something we hold near and dear in rural Wisconsin. Whether it's your small town's summer festival, a dairy breakfast, or a county fair. But those events can't happen without people willing to give up their time, money, or energy to volunteer. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. This morning, we're talking about the best way to recruit and retain good volunteers for your organization. Ian Hill is the CEO of The Changing Point. He's working with 500 fair boards across the country, including here in Wisconsin, to help them build their volunteer teams. He tells us how it's done.
Well, the first step in that is realizing that the nature of volunteerism has changed. In the past, volunteerism was obligatory. We knew we had to be involved because we all had a responsibility to help with the community. Now, to be honest with you, I can't tell you exactly when it happened, but there was a shift. And that shift was this: prove to me that your thing is worth my time, talent, and treasure of volunteerism. So we went from everyone understanding civic responsibility and an obligation to help to prove to me. Well, that presents a whole different level of challenges for volunteer organizations. I now have to prove my value and that I can provide an exceptional experience for the volunteer.
It's a lot more than just asking someone to come do something for a few hours. You're almost having to market the opportunity to them. And that, I'm sure, can be challenging for some groups to wrap their head around.
Well, it's two things. One, we're frustrated by that, especially people who live in small towns, and especially people of my generation. I'm 59 years old. So we look at it and go, well, wait a minute, don't you realize you need to help? How are we going to build this town if you don't help? And a younger person may say, well, sure, I'm happy to help, but what am I going to experience? And how do I know it's being run properly? And how do I know my money's being spent well? And how do I know my time is actually going to make an impact? So all of a sudden, we have to be able to explain the value of what we're doing. We got to be able to articulate the kind of experience that they can hope to have. And then we got to deliver. We got to deliver that they're going to have a positive volunteer experience. Once we do prove that, they want to be a part of something bigger than themselves. People are desperately looking for community. And so I think that's our biggest message. You want people to come volunteer? Make sure your community is healthy, meaning your organization is healthy. Make sure that it's well run. Make sure that people are being treated with dignity and respect, and that they feel valued.
So let's talk about evaluating your organization and make sure that it's a place people want to volunteer. How do you go about a self-audit? What's that first step?
So first, I call it a courageous conversation. All them boys and girls got to look at each other and say this: how are we doing? What is people's experience? Are we what we say we are? Or is there a gap between our principle and practice? We tell everybody they're going to get this, but do they actually get it? So I would do it two ways. I would do 100 cups of coffee. So every board member, go pick out three people. Make sure they're three people of influence. And go sit down and have a cup of coffee. Do 80% listening and 20% talking. Ask open-ended questions. How are we doing? Do you think we're fulfilling our role? What would you like to see us do? How can we better serve the community? When we go and ask those courageous questions, we're going to get real answers. That will be the first indication of whether we are of value to the community. Then the second piece is simple surveys, right? We just send out a simple survey. Let people tell us, and whether it's on social media or whether that's an anonymous survey through Monkey Survey or Google Survey. There's so many tools today. But you got to do both. You got to have some face-to-face conversations with people of influence in town. That doesn't mean people of prominence. There's a lot of people of prominence that have no influence. But talk to some people that really matter in our faith community, in our elementary schools, or in our business community, our seniors. Ask them, how are we doing? And then a more traditional, put out a survey. Combine those two things, and you'll have a really good sense of whether you're of value to the community or not.
You know, another thing you said, do the systems we have in place when you're doing the self-audit, are they old? Are they antiquated? Can we be doing things in a new way to make the experience just better overall?
Yeah, systems are a funny thing, right? A system is just a bunch of parts that we put together to accomplish a specific task. Every rural organization, business or nonprofit, social profit, has systems, policies, procedures, protocols. But are those systems from a time gone by? Or are they for today? And there's two kinds of systems. Systems that we design for a specific time, place, task, or systems that organically grow up. I always say it like this. I don't know, it's just what we do around here. That's a system that organically grew up. The question really is, are the systems we're using what the times require? Too oftentimes, we have systems in place that either participants or volunteers experience, and they say this: who the hell is running this place? This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. When people are saying that about their volunteer experience, or they're saying that about the event or activity we're putting on, they're not coming back.
So that's our self-audit. All right, now it's time to promote the value that our volunteers should be getting in our organization. When it comes to marketing volunteer positions, where do you start?
I start with impact. What real value do we bring to the community? Like a fair. We're here at the fair conference, some Wisconsin Association of Fairs. 77 different county fairs across the state, plus the state fair, right? What's their real value? Oh, fun. Well, wait a minute. I would suggest their real value is economic development. I would suggest their real value is building the citizen of tomorrow through the youth programs that they have, animal husbandry, 4-H, things of that nature. I would say that their real value is community connectiveness. Do you know that all studies show that when a person feels connected to community, they're less likely to be depressed, they're less likely to succumb to suicide? So all of a sudden, the local fair is about building community connectiveness, community resiliency, community pride. That's the impact. That's where I start when I start talking about marketing a volunteer experience. And whether we cast it through a face-to-face conversation or we cast it on social media, either way, we're casting the vision of the value of our organization and the impact we make. That's going to get certain people to step to us. Then we just got to make sure, as we said earlier in this conversation, they have a positive experience. When they do, they'll go tell others, and the next thing you know, we'll have plenty of volunteers.
After that work is done, we have our last step, which might be new. It's kind of a younger generation thing, whether that's a good thing or not, but the need for a pat on the back and making sure that you're celebrating the people who are putting in the work, putting in the effort.
I'm no expert in the brain, but I do know this. When we have a positive volunteer experience, there's certain chemicals that flow. Dopamine, endorphins, all the good juices that are built into our bodies to give us that feeling that we've done something of value. So celebration is critical. It could be a high five that releases those little juices. It could be a recognition of some kind. It could be a certificate. It could be a party. It could be all kinds of things, a simple thank you. That little step of thank you, pat on the back, releases those chemicals. Those chemicals feel good to us and we want more of it. It's less about the common human decency of thanks, and it's just as much, or if not more, about a feeling that I get. And I say to myself, damn, that felt good. And I come back. And because I know this is a farm listener, or at least rural listener, I would say this. Be encouraged. You know how to do this. You did it 100 years ago. You know how to build a trusting relationship with one human being. And that's really how we go and get people involved today.
Ian Hill, along with us. He's the CEO of The Changing Point, and right now he's coaching up about 500 county fair boards around the country on how to recruit and retain volunteers. As we heard, it includes new tactics to get today's individual to give up their time and energy. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, Love Lost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use platform uses photo-matching technology across multiple media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.com.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Come unattached from somebody's backyard. It really was a first example of the day on how strong those winds got yesterday.
Yeah, they were tremendous, Pam. I was over in Sheboygan County, eastern Fond du Lac County, and in the afternoon when the winds gusted, the dust blew across the field. You would have thought somebody was out there doing some tillage by the amount of dust, but it was just coming off that uncovered soil.
Interesting you bring that up, because we're talking about carbon credits and what farmers are doing to try to use cover crops to keep that soil in place. Definitely a great example of that yesterday with those winds. The winds are dying down a little bit this morning, Stu, but boy, they're going to kick back up with a vengeance this afternoon, aren't they?
Absolutely. They kick back up, you know, all of eastern Wisconsin, right along the lake shore, all the way from Manitowoc, Sheboygan, Milwaukee, Racine, Kenosha, under a wind advisory from 1 p.m. this afternoon till 6 p.m. tonight. That also includes a little further west, Walworth, Waukesha, Washington County, Sheboygan County, and north. So a wind advisory there. Wind gusts this afternoon almost anywhere in Wisconsin. Could very well be peaking up at 45 miles per hour or more. I did see a peak wind gust yesterday at Kenosha and Sheboygan near the lakeshore, 49 miles per hour. Mitchell Field in Milwaukee, a 48 mile per hour wind gust. There's going to be a lot of that again today. Very windy conditions with low pressure still circling just off to our northeast. An Alberta Clipper-type front trying to drop in. There's some snow very, very far northwest Wisconsin, western Lake Superior, the northeast part of Minnesota. The far northern part of the state may see a little snow for a time today. The rest of us will not, but we will all have that very windy condition, very mild temperatures today. That Clipper front passes. We cool off just a little bit for Wednesday, warm it up again by Thursday, and maybe by the end of the week, some chance of a little precipitation. I'd like to say just snow, but in southern Wisconsin with mild temperatures, a little light rain, not out of the question late Thursday night or into the day Friday. There may be just a little light snow around as we get the weekend underway into Saturday as well, but it's not going to amount to much, not going to bring us a new snow cover with the exception of very far northwest Wisconsin, where maybe an inch or two off the lake may accumulate. Everybody else, very, very light amounts, and it could actually be that mix in the south as we make our way through Friday. So it doesn't quite sound like wintry weather as we push toward the end of January or even early February, although temperatures will cool just a little bit once we head toward early next week, maybe starting to head back to about normal. I'll have forecast details right after
this. If you milk with robots, you know that cow flow is everything. Cow Corner Consulting helps you maximize cow flow by working with your team to improve your barn workflows, your feed management, and your system settings. Visit cow-corner.co to learn how. Cow Corner is an independent consulting company and works with all brands of robots. They're ready to go to work for you. Sign up for the free e-newsletter or contact John Gerbitz at cow-corner.co.
As a dairy farmer, you depend on your milk receiver pump. McFinn Technologies of Kenosha introduces the impressive Bopeller pump. It's quieter, there's lower maintenance, as the seals last much longer than your old milk receiver pump. It offers a more powerful cleaning cycle with higher velocities, and it doesn't degrade the quality of your milk. Ask your dealer for the Bopeller milk receiver pump, patented by McFinn Technologies, an American company committed to providing a better product for the dairy industry.
This just seems so odd to me that we have less snow on the ground than people in Florida, Texas, and Louisiana have seen. It's just one of, another of those weird stretches in January, Stu, but today it involves a lot of wind.
Yep, that's the big one. The wind advisory again along the lakeshore in eastern Wisconsin, 1 until 6 this afternoon and evening. And for a lot of us, we expect a good deal of sunshine and a very windy day. More clouds as you head into northern Wisconsin. There may be a little light snow up near Park Falls. Now, I'm expecting temps today in the south in the mid and upper 40s, maybe only in the 30s further north. And the southwest and west winds a good 5 to 15 increasing and gusting near 40 and even 45 miles per hour closer to the lake shore. Overnight, we try to clear it out a bit. It does get cooler. We all drop back in the 20s, upper 20s south, low 20s north. West wind still strong, 10 to 20 and gusting near 30. A little more sunshine, a bit cooler Wednesday. Low 30s north, upper 30s south. The northwest winds could gust near 25. And the clouds build back in on Thursday, Pam. But very mild. There could be a 50 in southern Wisconsin on Thursday. A lot of upper 40s, but the southwest winds, guess what? They'll still gust to 25.
Wow. Yeah, that's formidable. You're going to notice that either way. All right, my friend. Very good. We'll catch up with you tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Stu Muck, ag meteorologist, with the weather details you're looking for. Like you said, temperatures improving, but be ready to hang on to literally everything, including the kids' backyard pool, if you care about it, because, man, things are blowing around all over the place. Coming up, I just want you to know we are paying attention to agriculture and immigration. Is your farm or agribusiness seeing employees not show up because they're afraid of immigration enforcement, I should say? Use our talk text line and let me know what's happening in your world. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Are they still showing up for work or are they starting to disappear? Let me know on a Tuesday morning.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
We are the keepers of the wild. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving the natural landscapes that define our nation. Nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters. Together with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
Did you know? VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served.
In the military, we make a lot of sacrifices, and with the VA loan, it makes it easier for us to get a home.
We were able to purchase this home and then use the money that we were going to use as a down to actually fix up the home. I would tell anybody who is interested in getting a VA loan to just do it.
To learn more about VA home loans, visit va.gov/home loans.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts, discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
CBS News Brief. The new Trump administration keeps up the dizzying pace of orders and executive actions, now placing a temporary pause on all grants, loans, and federal financial assistance. CBS's Jared Hill.
The Senate top Democrat Chuck Schumer wrote it's jeopardizing billions upon billions of community grants and financial support that help millions of people across the country.
An FBI whistleblower is raising concerns about Kash Patel, President Trump's nominee to head the FBI, claiming he leaked information about American captives in Yemen. CBS's Dan Clydman.
People in the FBI worried that if you get out ahead with this kind of news, that it could jeopardize the release of the hostages.
The NASDAQ bouncing back a day after the Chinese AI company DeepSeek triggered a massive sell-off. Analyst Dan Ives.
The reality is that it doesn't change the position of U.S. tech, NVIDIA, Microsoft, and others relative to AI revolution.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. There are all kinds of benefits to having a younger host of Wheel of Fortune, especially when it comes to explaining internet slang to your letter-turning co-host, Vanna White. Vanna White posted a picture of her and her son cooking together on social media, which brought her son lots of attention, with people referring to the picture as a thirst trap. Not judging, because I had to Google it myself, but White said she had no idea what that was, but luckily, her young whippersnapper 50-year-old co-host, Ryan Seacrest, set everyone straight. Say what you want about Jennifer Lopez, but she is a showbiz juggernaut. The pop icon actress, who has a tendency to make headlines for all the wrong reason, just righted the ship with a standing ovation after a screening of her new film at the Sundance Film Festival. Lopez stars in the second film adaptation of the novel Kiss of the Spider Woman. Jenny from the Block says this old-fashioned musical version of the film is one she's always wanted to make, and that witnessing a standing ovation actually made her dream come true. How can that awful Ben Affleck not love her? For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Badgers move up in the rankings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball. The Wisconsin Badgers have moved up a few spots. Now the 17th ranked team in the nation. Head coach Greg Gard, where he hopes they can improve.
You know, trying to be, from an offensive standpoint, if we can be top 10 in the country, which we are now. Defensively, we felt we needed to climb to be top 25 in order to be really elite. Because if you look across the country of who's in that category, it's some pretty high-powered teams. So defensively, we needed it. We were hovering in the 50s. We need to continue to grow that.
The Badgers head to Maryland to take on the Terrapins tomorrow night. NBA. The Bucks with a 125-110 win over the Utah Jazz. Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo both scoring 35 points. Andre Jackson ejected with a flagrant foul with less than a minute to play. Baseball. The Brewers adding closing pitcher John Axford to the team's Wall of Fame. Axford had 46 saves in 2011, a franchise single season record. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news, featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Increasing sunshine today, mild but windy. A high of 43, wind gusts as high as 40 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy, still breezy, lows near 30. Not as breezy on Wednesday, mostly sunny with highs in the upper 30s. Right now, it's 28 degrees.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. On my YouTube channel, I recently talked to Amanda Clayman, a financial therapist and an all-around excellent person. We talked about how to reduce money anxiety, and her advice was really helpful. She said, unless we have a time to do money, we don't have a time to not do money. Meaning, if we set aside some time to think about and manage our money, it lets our brain stop worrying about money all the time. For example, I have a monthly money meeting with myself, which lowers my money anxiety and helps keep me on top of my finances. If you don't already, set and keep that money meeting with yourself. It'll help your wallet and your peace of mind. Remember what Amanda said, unless you have a time to do money, you don't have a time to not do money. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft.
But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
Guyton was the person for this job.
Boy, we had really good export numbers yesterday as far as the markets are concerned. Are they going to hold up? Is this a gut reaction to the Trump administration and some of their directives? We're going to find out on a Tuesday morning. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Midwest Farm Report on the fabulous Farm Bay. Pam Yonke, John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, can expect to field that question as well as giving us an update on the latest cattle numbers. If you are a consumer that's been a little shocked at the grocery store on the price of beef, the latest numbers don't show that receding anytime soon. We'll get John's reaction. Stick around for that. So today is the 28th day of January. What can I tell you? Let's see. On this day, 1959, Vince Lombardi was named head coach of the Packers. He'd been the offensive backfield coach of the New York Giants in the previous five seasons. He went on to coach the Packers for 9 years, won five NFL championships, and obviously Super Bowls one and two. Vince Lombardi named the Packers coach on this day back in 1959. On this day in 1958, the Lego brick is patented. It's since produced more than 500 billion Lego elements amounting to 10 Lego towers from Earth to the moon. The Lego brick patented on this day, 1958. On this day in 1985, the United States joined the efforts for Africa and recorded We Are the World. Over 20 million copies of the charity single were sold. That was on this day, 1985. And happy birthday to actor Alan Alda. He is 89 years young. And now you know. Well, today is the day where producers can get to know a little bit more about the language being used today in the carbon credit market. For so many years, producers have been told about the potential financial rewards they could get in the carbon market based on the practices they use on their farm, based on how they handle their animals, based on their crop rotation. Well, trying to get everybody on the same page is exactly what the Professional Dairy Producers of Wisconsin's trying to do today with their Carbon Credit Conference 3.0. Starts this morning with registration at about 9:30 at the Sheraton Hotel, continues through the day. Cassandra Strupp is their program manager, and she explains a little bit of the goal behind this conversation.
Yeah, we're definitely going to dig in. As we say, we're digging in deeper. So today you're going to start out with some of the jargon. We throw terminology. We're infamous, especially in our industry. But as we blend into more of the environmental discussions, what do those terms mean so we're using it properly? And especially when you start projects on your own operations, are we talking the same language? So again, understanding insets and offsets, but going further and understanding when we make claims, who has right to those claims? What do those claims mean? So again, taking it a step further, so we're talking the same language and we're doing right by it.
Have you noticed the people already engaged in the carbon market? Are they confused by our terminology, Cassandra, or is it vice versa? Our agriculture audience has to become more comfortable with their jargon.
I think it's more from our side as far as a fellow dairy farmer, because, I mean, we got everything under the sun going on our farm, and then you're adding one more thing, which isn't powerful, and it's going to have a great value to our business. But make sure that we're talking the same thing, especially when it comes to, like, contracts and making sure we're doing better for the industry. So I think definitely from the producer side, or if I'm putting my own hat on as I go out in the barn every day too, is, am I saying the right thing? Am I speaking the same thing? So when I have those important discussions, we're truly moving forward and we're on the same page.
Now let's talk a little bit about the market itself. Has anything changed for those producers that have been keeping track of this conversation? A new administration now coming in. There's a lot of talk about environmentally related conversations. What's new? What will pique my interest to take time today to travel to Madison?
Absolutely. So yes, we're going to talk about carbon and what projects are specific into that element, but it's taking it beyond. In that whole environmental scope, there are projects that you can do that necessarily don't target exactly into carbon, but it's going to go beyond. So what environmental initiatives are you already doing on your farm that you can put it into scope with these broader strokes or claims within the environmental target? Cover crops has been a part of it, but there's so much beyond as far as like biodiversity. What does that mean and what could that mean for your individual operation? So again, we're broadening it out. When you look at the enteric methane, what projects are going on in that space? What opportunity is there if you're already in that realm, already having those discussions? Can you take it a step further? So it's, again, it's enhancing. It's building off. You don't have to have been to last year's conference. You certainly could have, but it's going to take it a step further.
You know, that's been one thing that a lot of farmers have been concerned about, practices that they've been doing for decades already. Suddenly, because they've been committed to those practices, not necessarily counted, and I'm doing air quotes, counted towards a carbon credit conversation. Are we seeing more of an evolution on understanding there, Cassandra? Like I said, trying to encourage people to feel the desire to come to this conference when they may have already felt like they've been left in the past.
Right. I think some of these things, they feel like no-brainer, but we may have put a quote-unquote sexy term to it or something that's really, I don't want to call it a fad, but it's very much in the now. So it's understanding that some practices that you're putting into play now are great, and you keep doing them because they're showing such great value to your operation, to your soil health, obviously your cow's nutrition. That all goes hand in hand. But it comes back to, again, that jargon and understanding the claims. So if you're doing these great things already, how do you talk to your process and championing these things, and how do they talk to more stakeholders up the chain? So it's completing that picture, again, making it theoretically back into that cyclical cycle of our food system. How do we make sure everybody's having the conversation, and then how do we put claims on things that we are doing and then down the road want to do?
There you go. Cassandra Strupp, Program Manager, Professional Dairy Producers of Wisconsin. Again, their carbon credit conference goes on this morning. Sheraton Hotel, Madison. It begins at about 9:30 with the registration and continues till about 4:30 this afternoon. PDPW.org will get you the details. PDPW.org. Markets are next.
Veltima fungicide outyields the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre. But you've never been average. The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Beat your own record. Get every bushel you deserve. And make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Join the Midwest Farm Report team along with Wisconsin soybean and corn growers at the 2025 Corn Soy Expo on February 6th and 7th at the Kalahari Resort in the Wisconsin Dells. Learn from industry experts on disease updates, cover crops, DOT standards, weather patterns, and more. Comedian Greg Warren will bring humor to the closing of the event. Connect with fellow farmers and share ideas among the breakout session. And don't miss the popular beer and bowl session. For more information or to make plans to attend, visit cornsoyexpo.org.
Alrighty, dairy had a pretty good day yesterday in Chicago. The barrel cheese was up 2 at 184. 40-pound block cheese, that gained 3.75 to 187. And AA butter basically stood still at 253 a pound. Now, this morning in Chicago, we've got quite a bit of red ink happening. So far, December corn basically unchanged at 458. November soybeans, now they're unchanged at 1043. The wheat for July, now that's a penny stronger at 562. February, class 3 milk that goes into cheese, down 8, 1987. March right now down 13 at 1946 a hundredweight. John Heinberg is joining us next. We are going to find out about the export sales numbers this week for corn and soybeans, and cattle numbers continue to look tight. We'll turn to him for some answers next.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Remind you about their website, totalfarmmarketing.com, and of course their phone number, 800-334-9779. Part of the reason why I'm glad those folks are using the talk text line for that kind of conversation, John, is I'm a farm kid. I buy my beef by the half or by the whole. So whatever's in the freezer is what's coming out for supper without a price tag on it. But boy, that cattle market continues to catch attention, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And last week we added together another round of record prices in terms of futures market prices, as well as the cash market, which is getting paid to the producer for their cattle when they take them to the sale barn or to the packing plant. And it just comes down to, we have a window here. We are seeing very tight supplies. The cattle numbers are just kind of missing right at this time frame. And then on top of that, the demand continues to stay very, very strong. And that's, you know, what the consumer is paying for out there. there in terms of those retail beef cuts. And because with that combination, I think Packers have some money on the bone. They're willing to continue to pay up for these high prices. And I'm still kind of looking for a bit of a top in that market, but it just hasn't come together yet. But we are in some lofty air here, at least in terms of the price of beef, as well as the money that's being paid to the consumer, to the producer for their cattle.
Last week, we were at the UW Ag Outlook Forum where John Heinberg was actually a guest speaker. One conversation piece that I failed to bring up probably as often as I should, there are some ramifications. We're keeping cattle from Mexico out of the United States right now. You want to give them the story behind that, John, and why that also is an influence on this market?
Yeah, right. And just a few months ago, we found an infestation of a parasite called the screw worm that was in some Mexican cattle. And the USDA has banned Mexican feeder cattle imports. Feeder cattle, those younger, lighter weight cattle that the producers bring into the country, put in the feedlot, grow out and raise out, which turns into the retail beef that we see. So currently that there is a plan that was supposed to come open last week in terms of bringing those cattle back on board with some testing and to help define this parasite, control it, but it's still not been approved yet at this time frame. You know, so that's going to be a story that's going to be a longer term story, because obviously we put a cattle on the feedlot weighing 500-600 pounds, maybe 700-800 pounds, raise it up to its finishing weight about 1400-1500 pounds. That takes a few months. So the lower placement number that we saw in the cattle on feed report this last week probably is reflecting that lack of input from those feeder cattle from Mexico, which will keep the cattle supply tight well into the end of 25.
John Heinberg joining us this morning on the Midwest Farm Report. Their website, totalfarmmarketing.com. The phone number, 800-334-9779. Now, another item on that beef side of things that you don't stop and think about. We do import beef, John, as was brought up last week at the Ag Outlook Forum. But the beef we import generally is going into ground beef, correct?
That's very correct. We do bring a lot of beef in from Brazil or Canadian beef or things of that nature, just to help supplement our beef supply here. But when it comes down to the quality cut, you know, that steak that you see at the grocery store, you get at the restaurant, that is not imported beef. That is typically homegrown raised beef right here in the United States. So a lot of that imported beef comes in to fill into what we call the trim category, which goes into your ground beef, you know, on the hamburger side of things. Again, because a lot of our beef is of higher quality. Therefore, we keep that around for the higher price cuts that we see at the grocery store.
All right. Now, let's pivot and talk about another consumer-related item that we just can't shake this headline, John, and that's eggs. I swear, every one of my TV buddies, it's the only thing they seem to talk about relative to my audience. It's been going on for a while. The unfortunate part is we continue to see, I think, Pennsylvania, the latest outbreak of high-path avian influenza.
Yeah, the avian flu outbreak continues to be a pain in terms of the poultry industry, and obviously it's impacting the egg prices. You know, raising eggs, raising poultry is not like a factory where you can just shut it off and turn it back on again. You know, there's that restock time to get those birds back into those barns, get them up to production level. So that's one of the biggest factors that's going into the price of eggs right now, is just a continued loss of birds that happens because of the avian influenza outbreak. Again, understand when that disease is detected within a flock, the entire flock has to be liquidated or moved on in that regard, just to control the disease and prevent its spread from getting even further. Just unfortunate way how things have to happen. But again, when we're talking the replacement time on those birds, it takes a while to get to that level. Plus, just a couple other things that come into play as well. And we've got a lot of cage-free laws in terms of restriction that's tightened up the supply just because of the raising requirements for the birds. Plus also, we just kind of got through the holiday window here, and the demand seasonally is always very good around the holidays. So we just got a little bit of a hole in the egg market in terms of supply right now. Unfortunately, though, given the avian influenza, it's not likely to see prices come tumbling back down to a more comfortable level for quite a bit.
Tumbling is correct. John Heidenberg, market advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us here on the Midwest Farm Report. Let's talk a little bit about the news in the marketplace yesterday. It looked like some very strong export sales, corn and beans, at a time when those sales usually start thinning a little bit for the U.S., don't they?
Well, the corn side of the equation has remained strong, and this is actually the time frame when corn will really start to shine because, you know, we're the only game in town globally for exportable corn until we see some of those South American supplies. Soybean side, you know, we got our export shipment number yesterday, and they've kind of fallen off here. We don't have a lot of sales on the books. A lot of stuff got moved early, and export shipments the last couple of weeks have been extremely disappointing, again, reflecting the potential supply that's coming out of South America that's starting to slowly come online, even though harvest is behind pace right now. So that's a little concern in the soybean market here that the demand window is starting to close. But the corn side is continuing to shine with good sales again last week. And again, like I said, U.S. corn, even at with this increased price level, has still got some value in terms of the global export market, which should still keep business relatively active.
But don't look a gift horse in the mouth. One of your messages last week, try to be very, very proactive. I don't know, do you call it defensive with these prices?
Again, you got to manage the risk with these prices. And we've had a nice move. We've challenged the $5 level, which a lot of people didn't think we would get to a few months ago. So there's opportunity for producers here. And again, I'm just saying, don't be greedy in terms of trying to see if we get more and more. Just start protecting value what's in front of you.
Yep, very good. All right, my friend, we appreciate the update. We will catch up with you again next week. Sound good?
Sounds good. Have a great week.
All right, John Heinberg joining us live. He is the Total Farm Marketing Commodity Specialist in West Bend. Again, totalfarmmarketing.com, their website. Or feel free to give them a call, 800-334-9779, 800-334-9779. Remember, I always repost these conversations on our website if you want to take a look, MidwestFarmReport.com. Always happy to have you rejoin us there. Tomorrow morning, we'll catch up with our friends from the Steffes Group. We'll talk to you then.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with...
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Leaders in science and the fight against hunger create a call to action today on Farm to Fork.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Sleep deprivation. It doesn't sound serious, but it is. Inadequate quality sleep can lead to faulty decision-making, slower reaction times, fatigue, confusion, and decreased productivity. It raises the risk factor for all you do on the farm. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. More than 150 Nobel Prize and World Food Prize winners have signed a letter calling on the global community to get serious about hunger. One of the co-authors of the letter is Brian Schmidt, a Nobel Prize-winning astronomer from Australia.
My colleagues and I have conceived and signed onto this letter as scientists and leaders in innovation, and we understand what strategic investments in R&D can offer to the world. It's not a geostrategic competition. It's something we need to work on together, collectively, and then celebrate together. It is a great global plan.
Schmidt says we're behind the pace needed to meet a 2050 world feeding goal. A co-recipient of last year's World Food Prize, Kerry Fowler, says the world's future food security depends on three things.
It first depends on our recognizing that we have a real problem.
Second, it depends on essentially cutting our losses. So yes, we need to ensure that our crops, a wide range of crops, are adapted to climate change. We need more productivity, frankly, out of aqua food systems and agroforestry systems.
There's a link to more on this on the show info page at NorthShoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend. And then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Day one, the hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news, featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
You're listening to WRJN and W260 CV Racine, W251 BU Kenosha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. New orders from President Trump to freeze federal grants, loans, and other aid. CBS's Paula Smolinski has details from the White House.
Late Monday, the Trump administration issued a sweeping temporary pause on all federal finance assistance. This forces federal agencies to suspend payments to programs, except for Social Security and Medicare, until a review of each program is complete. The pause would include the disbursement of all federal loans and grants and potentially cause disruptions to programs such as SNAP food aid.
President Trump has issued another order eliminating diversity programs in the armed forces and setting in motion a future ban on transgender troops.
I order the end to all of the lawless diversity, equity, and inclusion nonsense policies across the government and all across the private sector and the military.
He's also ordered thousands of service members discharged for refusing to get vaccinated.